This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The thing I appreciate about a lot of Muslims is, I don't know if it, maybe it's because of your 21st century oppression.
So you know about shaitan, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I want to really appreciate, you know, the sincerity that you have.
For 300 years, the church molded.
Dude, I'm starting to think that the devil's like kind of like a really, really sick comedian where he's always trying to...
Over those two words.
For 2,000 years, the church has taught that God and the Trinity are synonyms.
16 and onwards.
How do you remember all that, bro? I don't understand that.
وَمَا يَأْتِيهِم مِّن رَّسُولٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. We have another exciting show. He's back again. He's an actor, comedian. He was also the script writer for Louder from Crowder. Also helped to write, a theme song for Tommy Robinson. Guess who's back here on the Dean Show? Our good friend, Owen Benjamin.
Go ahead and subscribe right now. Hit that notification bell. Help us get our numbers back up. Did you know that many years ago, the Dean Show, when we started 2006, we used to broadcast for many years on the Khalifa Clothing Channel, currently known as Digital Minbar. So we're trying to get our numbers back up because the channel at that time got closed. Then we started the official Dean Show channel. We're trying to get our numbers back up to where they should be. And that's this number here, 855, combined what we currently have, 442. We should be over 1,200,000 subscribers. Help us to get our numbers back to where they should be. With that small setback that we had many years ago, you guys can help us by subscribing right now and hitting that notification bell. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of this show. Assalamu alaikum. And don't forget to support us on our Patreon page.
What's up, Betty? How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Good to see you.
How you been?
I've been really good. It's really hot here. And as you can see, I'm in my, I'm in an animal stall right now. Because it's like 105 in Idaho, and this is the coolest place I could find.
Did I hit all those points right? Actor, comedian, former scriptwriter for Louder Crowder. And did I hit all those right? Did I leave anything out?
Yeah, I mean, I've been at this a long time. Those are some interesting credits, I guess. It's been quite a journey, my friend. I wanted to talk to you about comedy today anyway. So like the journey of it has been pretty interesting. I started as a piano player and then a heckler at a Renaissance fair where I made fun of people who threw tomatoes at me when I was in high school. And then I did stand-up comedy for a bit, opened for Kevin Hart before anyone knew who he was in college. And then Sandler put me in some movies because he saw me do stand-up. And then I did Leno and Fallon and all this other stuff. And then, you know, I was one of the leads of a sitcom in LA. And then I was outspoken about being against transgender children because I thought it was insane. And so then my agent manager dropped me. And then, you know, as you're kind of leaving the beast, the next level is kind of grabby. And the next level was like the neocon type, like Prager and Crowder and all those people. I thought they were speaking more of the truth. And then when I started getting out of some of those illusions, I left, you know, same with Tommy Robinson and all those guys. And now I'm just kind of doing my own thing. And, you know, I do a lot of farming and I do a live stream every day and we have an app and we're trying to really figure out the best way to keep comedy going and not having it be so illusion based and political, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're going to touch upon a lot of different things. I really, really enjoyed talking to you last time. We got such a positive feedback. A lot of the bears, you know, they really enjoyed it. And yeah, so we just really connected. It was a really positive program we did. I have a good friend of mine. He's also going to join us. His name is Dr. Sabil. Dr. Sabil, cool. How are you? No stranger. He's from Gain Peace, the director of Gain Peace. Owen Benjamin, this is Dr. Sabil. He's going to be joining us on this episode of The Dean Show.
Sweet.
All right. Nice to meet you.
So I want
to. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
You too.
I want to get right into this. You did a program not too long ago, and I'm going to show some clips. You've been talking about We'll talk about farming towards the end. We want to talk about something that's precious to you, to us, you know, purpose of life, you know, talk about, you know, many of the things, you know, the moral decay of society. We'll touch upon that. You know, a lot of the commonalities that we have, we'll talk about the beard. You touch upon that. But let me start off with this clip. There was an intervention not too long ago. There was an intervention. What was it called? A Trinity intervention?
Trinity intervention, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you brought up, there was Dr. Rachel, Patrick Coffin, Dr. Michael Jones, and then a gentleman, a person by the name of Milo. He organized this. How did that start off? Why? What was the whole pretext behind setting this up? Why were they? Because I've seen some of your videos. You were kind of questioning the Trinity.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm friendly with all these people. I love E. Michael Jones and Dr. Brown, and I didn't know Patrick Coffin before the intervention, and then I know Milo. He's a really interesting character. You know, he's a real trickster, but I root for the guy. And so this all came about because as a Christian, I was questioning Jesus being God. And I know this is a little heavy just for like a conversation, but like, I don't think it's really backed up in the Bible personally. Like I was always like, who's he praying to, you know? And I was being very innocent about it. And I'm not mad at people who think that. Like I'm used to having a lot of friends and acquaintances having different beliefs, but you know, my thing is I might be wrong, but I'm not lying. That's always what I go with. And that allows me to live a life with a heart-based life where I can make mistakes and keep going is because at the time I believe it, you know. And so I had all these questions about, you know, Jesus doing the bidding of his father and how you can be your own father and all these like basic questions, you know. And I was raised Catholic. And to get more into the Bible, I started seeing it more as God and then Jesus being the representative on earth, the Logos incarnate. And so they did this like intervention, and I thought it went pretty well because I don't know. I took it with a grain of sand, you know, but I just like, I don't know why people care so much about it. You know, it seems like that dogma has kind of made it like the center point of so much of Christianity these days. And there's so much in the Bible that is so interesting and so helpful, especially in these tumultuous times, that I don't get why that's the be all end all of so many churches. And so, yeah, that's what that's about.
One thing that I would have disagreed in the beginning before you even got into the Trinity was the homestead. You know, the civilization is to be in the city. You know what I mean? And this and people trying to look down upon that, you know, who are not really keen to really, like you talk about planting your own fruit trees, you know, your son's getting out there, developing good work ethic, connecting with nature, you know what I mean? Growing your own food, right? Away from the GMOs, away, you know, nutrition, proper nutrition. And it's like people looking at, I think it was kind of made to seem like, okay, the quote was, you know, to be civilization is in the cities, you know? And
yeah, which is crazy to me. And that's why I think that the real disconnect with people is a lot more between rural and urban, and basically how much sovereignty and how much responsibility have you taken upon yourself. And it's really interesting that to get out of some of these spells was a lot of it had to do with living a more similar life. Like rural Christianity or rural Islamic people would probably have a lot more in common than super urban members of even their same religion sometimes, because you have a lot, your life is more similar. You know, when I used to, you know, after the 9/11 spell, I, you know, blamed, I was never like hardcore, but I was like, you know, we got to go to war, you know, we got to avenge, you know, never forget all that stuff. Like, it made sense to me at the time. And as that spell faded, and one of the reasons it faded was, I got my own goats and I was attacked by the media, and I saw a lot of the same patterns that they did to Muslims happen to me. And you know, being a self-sustaining guy with goats, you know, like mocking that. And then some of my friends were doing the same jokes against me that I was doing against Muslims, which were more just like rural. It's not even, it's a category error. It's all very interesting. But like, I started being like, oh no, that's not what that means. And then I saw how the media was attacking me and try to categorize me as a political position and not just who I am. And I saw the same pattern they were doing to Muslims. And I don't hold on to grudges or spells the minute I see through it, even if it costs me a lot of social points and financial points. You know, that was one of the disagreements I had with a lot of the neocons, is that, you know, Islam isn't the enemy. You know, it's like, especially another reason is, you know, you can say mass migration is, you can say that flooding a country with a lot of people from another country to keep this debt-based nonsense global machine going, sure. But I noticed a very tricky thing they were doing. They kept talking about Muslim immigrants, but yet in America, you'd say Mexicans, not Christians. You know, like most Mexicans are Catholic or Christian, but you wouldn't categorize them as that. You'd say Mexicans. So it's interesting how you have tribe and religion, these two categories. And another thing that ingratiated me to Islamic culture is, one, I have a very close friend who's one of the wisest people I know, and he's really Muslim. And also, I don't believe in debt, like personally. Like, I think debt is how a lot of people are manipulated. And so I like to listen to YouTube videos about economics and debt and money. And the only ones I could find in that world were Islamic scholars, because every other economic system seems to be like, oh, this is cheap debt, expensive debt, blah, all this. And I'm like, I wanted advice from people that don't want any debt, like no mortgage, no debt. And so I kept being drawn to Islamic scholars. And then you see through the lies. And if you're being attacked that hard by the by the media, you're probably doing something right. So that's kind of my journey out of, you know, out of seeing Muslims as the enemy and seeing like the spell for what it is, you know.
We're going to jump into some of these clips and get your guys' reaction. But you mentioned 9/11. What do you think about this one? I don't know if you've ever heard of David Ray Griffin. He said all the evidence that America was attacked. This is a Christian now, professor emeritus. Yeah. He said all the evidence that's presented that America was attacked by Muslims on 9/11, when subjugated to critical scrutiny, appears to have been fabricated. This is a Christian who came out. He wrote the most on this. So we have a new slogan when it comes around: never forget. We will never forget. Islam and Muslim had nothing to do with 9/11. I don't know if you know, this is the new slogan.
Good for you. Yeah. And even if it was 19 people who called themselves Muslim, there's nothing in the Quran. I've asked a bunch of my friends about this. There's no commandment or anything. It has nothing to do with Islam. And you can't label, you can't put a label on a billion plus people for the actions of 19. Like, no white Christian American would want that, you know, like the actions of a small group of people being perpetuated onto a demographic is without question a bad thing to do. So I think after the emotions of that, and then the truther movement of like what happened to Building 7 and all this stuff, you know, I actually swung too far the other way for a little while. And I was like feeling victimized by like Jews and Zionists and stuff, and how like they tricked me and dead and pornography and all that. And then I realized that they're also being used by, you know, shaitan. It's like
shaitan. It's
mashallah. It's like so these guys are being used in the system the same way, like much worse actually. And so the key is just to get out of debt yourself. Don't consume their media. And then you see them as a lot of people that are just way off the path and could use a little love themselves, you know?
Yeah. Well, so you know about shaitan, huh?
Oh, yeah. One of my best friends is Muslim. And like, the interesting thing is, it's one thing I appreciate about a lot of Muslims is, I don't know if maybe it's because of your 21st century oppression, especially in the West, but you're way more connected to the religion of it. Like you are living it more like it's real, versus a lot of American Christians are more detached from it. The rural ones are more connected, but a lot of the big mega churches and stuff, I'm like, you're not even reading it like it's real. You know, like I have all these questions and I'm trying to connect to God and I'm like really taking this stuff seriously. And a lot of them are like, they act like it's not real. And then you have a lot of Muslims I know, and a lot of, you know, the Amish, the Mennonites, some of the Mormons I know, like it's not just Muslims, but it's like, a lot of the Muslims I know are in it more. And I really respect that about you guys, because it's like, it's not just like an intellectual idea. It's not a place to go on Sundays. It's like a real way to live your life. And, you know, that's why I'm trying to pick up the plow and do my work and really connect to nature and to God as much as I can. And a lot of these city people, they don't seem like they have any interest in it at all, you know?
Much of the audience is going to appreciate what you're saying regarding that. Thank you. Let's go into these clips. This is the famous intervention.
Right. Which is one of the sacred mysteries of the Catholic faith. And it's a truth that is beyond human comprehension. We can know that God exists through reason, but we couldn't know what he was like unless he told us. And he told us through the scriptures, basically by using two words. The two words are Logos and Son. And for 300 years, the church mulled over those two words, and they came up with the doctrine of the Trinity. But since the Trinity is the ultimate reality of the universe, there's evidence of the Trinity in nature. And one of the people who discovered this was Pythagoras, probably the first one who discovered it, and he discovered it in the realm of number. And number for Pythagoras, one, had meaning. All the numbers had meaning, and the number one meant unity, and the number two meant diversity, and the number three meant unity in diversity. If you take unity in diversity, another word for that is beauty. And beauty is a transcendental, which means it's an attribute of God. And so you have an example of the evidence of the Trinity in nature itself, which kind of diffuses the whole issue of accepting it completely on faith alone.
All right. So what's going on here for you guys that don't know? Owen Benjamin here is on the right. And then you have Dr. Rachel here. You have Patrick Coffin and Dr. Michael Jones, who were just speaking. So we're going to go through some of the videos. And they're, what they're doing, help me out, Owen, is that they're trying to persuade you, or they're trying to do an intervention because you're questioning some of these things. So we're going to look at some of the arguments that they're making. Just talk about it. Dr. Sabil, if give you a background, Owen, he's actually a medical doctor by profession. He gave up his medical career to go ahead and help educate people on Islam, to dedicate his life full time. He runs an organization called Gain Peace. He's a director of Gain Peace, and he's also here to answer any questions that you have also on Islam, because I remember you said before you about bringing on an imam, so he's the closest thing to that. So he's someone who's also an expert in comparative religion. He's dedicated a great portion of his time to the Bible, to understanding it, and to helping, you know, create dialogue and these kind of talks with people of other faiths. So what do you think? Doc Sabil, you want to comment on it? Or Owen, who wants to go first? On?
Go ahead. I'd love to hear you.
Yes. So Brother Owen, you know, as soon as I saw that video, you know, I didn't see that whole 1 hour, 30 minutes, right? I mean, I started to watch it. It was just too overwhelming.
Yeah.
The way that they were stopping you and ridiculing you, I thought, I mean, I just didn't feel right.
Yeah, they muted me. So I just started going like this and like doing.
I know you are doing like this and you were trying to like say something. He kept on muting you. But regardless, you know, this person who came up and he said, you know, Catholic, they believe in Trinity, mathematical equation and beauty in nature. Didn't you realize that he failed to give a single evidence from the Bible?
Yeah, totally. And I will say I love E. Michael Jones and all those people. Like, they are good people. Like, I'm not mad at them at all. But, like, that was totally – I was the only one quoting the Bible, and I couldn't stop laughing. And our thing is I was the only one in nature. So he keeps talking about nature, and I'm, like, in nature, like, surrounded by nature. And I'm like, guys, you want to know about all the numbers in nature? There's fours, there's twos, there's fives, there's eights, there's nine. Wait till you get into some of the fractals, you know? And – I get what they're saying, and I understand how there is a lot of threes in nature, you know, where it's like father, mother, child, you know, where you have all kinds of, you know, ice, water, gas, all that stuff. But like, I instinctively have a feeling like to apply that to God is off. And I have a right to think that way. And if people have a problem with that, that's their problem, because I have not distanced myself from people that believe that at all. In fact, I got none but love for him. It seemed like the reaction against me was so disproportionate. Mm-hmm. Where it's like they were almost more mad at me for saying Jesus wasn't God, like that statement. And I was like, he's in like doing God's will. He's like connected. He's like fully in the will of God. But it wasn't enough. It was like that anger made me start as a comedian. You know, you can feel the stress. It's almost like being a masseuse. Like there's a knot there and you're like, oh, that's where I got to hit, because it's like the overreaction where you can't do a joke about, you know, Caitlyn Bruce Jenner or whatever. Like when I saw that, I'm like, that's where I got a joke. Or when it's like, you can't do jokes about men and women anymore out of Hollywood. Like, I'm like, so that's where I got a hit. And the same thing happened with Trinity, where I was like, why are you calling me a heathen, saying I'm going to hell, saying I'm not Christian, all this stuff, when like Jesus in the Bible is talking about praying to God and how we'll do more than he ever did and how to help connect us to God the Father and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't see it in the Bible. And then people are like, John 3:16 and all this stuff. And I'm like, but there's so much that isn't that. And so, and I'm not a theologian, and I don't, it's like, if I go too far into that, or that's why I don't go into politics either. I can't do my job as a comedian because I can't have sacred cows. But like, I felt it was my obligation as somebody that makes fun of stuff, you know. And the joke that I started doing was, you know, they'd say 100% man, 100% God. And I'm like, and so then I'm like, so can I pray to the Holy Ghost? Like 100% ghost, 100% God. And they're like, no, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, I know, right? I'm like, the ghost is God too then? It's like, oh no, the ghost isn't God. I'm like, 100% ghost, 100% God. You know? And they're like, no, no, it's just the other way though. I'm like, but if it's a Trinity and all three are one and all one are three, then the ghost is God. And they're like, and a lot of people laughed at that because our Catholic upbringing really didn't explore the Bible as much as some of my other Christian friends that I have now, rural Christians that are more biblically based. We'd all ask these questions and everyone just told us to shut up when we were kids. And then we just never went back to it. And it just became part of our identity, you know?
You know, one stark difference between Catholicism, Christianity compared to Islam, there are close to 700 passages in the Quran that encourages and obligates people to speak up, to think and ponder and ask questions.
Yeah.
Not blindly believe just because our parents and ancestors used to believe certain way. That's what makes us different from animals, right? We are different. We are
supposed to be different. Dude. Exactly. Yeah. Animals react. I mean, animals are very beautiful. I'm with them right now, as you can see.
Oh,
but like the difference is they're based in a world of reaction. There's a lot of love in animals. I got love for animals, but it's, they don't have that other gear that I'm not going to give up. It's the same thing with what's happening with a lot of the global stuff. You know, we don't need to discuss
it. Makes sense. I'd like to test it out.
But it's like, to not be able to question things. I could not be a comedian at all. You know, I used to do bits about all the nonsense where it's like someone invited me to go to a skin cancer walk in Los Angeles. And I was like, outside, you know, like little silly jokes like that, where it's like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, Caitlyn Jenner's woman of the year, but hasn't been a woman for a full year. Isn't that mathematically impossible? You know, like, those little things are what make a comedian a comedian. And those are also a thing that make you a living man, you know, more in the realm of God's creation and not just servitude. And I think there's some real nefarious powers to be that want us a lot more like cattle than like living men. And that is in a world of reaction. Wear the mask today. Take the mask off. Do this. Don't do that. You know, and I just won't do that, because if you give that up, you give up all the gifts you have, you know.
Yeah. Here's the second one, Dr. Rachel, and we'll get you after this, Dr. Sabil.
I'd like to test it out with us. The problem of understanding the Trinity is the problem of understanding how the maker of all things, heaven and earth, can enter into his own artwork, right? And it's the way Tolkien puts it in one of his dialogues, where he said the elf and the woman are talking, and she's saying, wouldn't it just break everything to have the author of all things, in fact, become part of the story? Which is why it breaks our brains to consider it, right? And I think I heard you saying, we don't understand, how do you conceptualize creation, right? How do you understand that the idea that we're all made, we're all creatures, we're all some. Well, one of my favorite authors is Dorothy Sayers, and she has a wonderful book called The Mind of the Maker, where she talks through this metaphor of what it means to say God is the maker of heaven and earth, and how, in fact, the Trinity is a metaphor that's helping us understand what it means to be artists made in the image and likeness of God, which this is different from the...
Doc Sabeel?
You're kind.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, not a single passage from the Old Testament, New Testament, any scripture, just philosophical. You know, one of the marks of a true faith is that it does not defy our hearts, our minds, and the scriptures. Because there are so many faiths out there, and, you know, we don't have to be a theologian to demarcate, you know, which one is the right and which one can be the diluted versions of the original. So when we look at, you know, the philosophical discussion that she's mentioning, right away, if I were there, I would have alluded her to the Old Testament and the New Testament and gave her two passages. One passage from the Old Testament is the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse number 3, God says, do not take any other God besides me, right? Singular, besides me.
Yeah.
It means no human, no Holy Ghost, no animal, no idol can be equated with God. That is the very first, the most important commandment of the 613 commandments of the Old Testament. When it comes to the New Testament, Brother Owen, you'll be so surprised to find out that one time a Jewish person approached Jesus and asked him a $1 million question, that of all the commandments of the Old Testament, which one is the first, the greatest of all of them? This is in the Gospel of Mark, the second Gospel, chapter number 12, verse number 29. Jesus, he replied, that hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, his only one. Right? Worship him. He didn't say worship me or Holy Ghost. Worship him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that is the first commandment.
Yeah, in fact, there's a passage in the New Testament, I don't remember where Jesus actually stops someone from giving him honor and says, give it to God. And it's those situations where I'm like, how does that make any sense if he's God? Like someone was giving him the honor, giving him the worship, and he literally said, no. He said, don't do that. Give it to the Father. And this is in my Christian Bible, and I'm like, I don't see, and this is a cool thing about Islam and Christianity. This is one reason why I think these lines are so heavy in the sand, is because without the Trinity, Islam and Christianity shouldn't be enemies. Like they shouldn't, you know, even with the Trinity, I wouldn't be an enemy of somebody that believes something else than me, but like you're worshiping the same God, you know? And so it's like, yeah, my Muslim friend is like informed me that you guys have an updated version. He's like, oh yeah, Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, all that. But I'm like, the broad strokes aren't that different. It just isn't really anything to be super fired up about, you know?
Yeah, there's a passage, the one I think you're referring to, that's Mark 10:18, where a man came to him and said, oh, good master, what good thing can I do that I may have eternal life? I mean, how do I get to paradise? He said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. That's just like someone, I always compare it coming to me as a martial artist, and someone's just like, man, Eddie, you could just kick some butt, you're so, you know, and I'm just being humble, you know what I mean? But Jesus now, he's like supposed to be the creator of the heavens and the earth, you know? No, he's being humble. He's saying, look, you know, he's saying God is the greatest, you know, turn all your love to God, you know what I mean? He's keeping it humble and directing that person and all of them to the one that he worshiped, to the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Also in John chapter 5, verse number 30, Jesus is mentioning to his people, to the disciples, saying that I of myself, I cannot do anything. Whatever I hear, I judge. My judgment is true because I seek not my own will, but the will of God who sent me. Right? So important. Yeah. It cannot be as clear as that.
Yeah, and that's why it's not unchristian to question these things when you read the New Testament. That's why people get so mad at me, and I'm like, I don't understand the anger. There's also, and even the parts that the Trinitarians are so obsessed about, like I think it might have been Philip, but it was where it was like, basically, how do I know God? And Jesus basically said, you've been with me this whole time. Have you not known God this whole? You know, I equate that to like being in. When you're that committed to the will of God, you feel the presence around prophets, around, you know, his servants. Like if somebody dedicates their life to God on that level, it's like haven't you felt God when you're with me? Like that, I'm doing his will, you know? And other people say like, that means he is God. And I'm like, so did he make himself? And then they say, well, in Genesis, in the beginning, I think there was a plural, like we or something. There was like a plural verbiage. Yes. And do you guys have any ideas about that? Like in the beginning, who is God with in the plurality of that?
Yeah. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, I believe, verse number 26 and on 16 and onwards.
How do you remember all that, bro? I'm so good at that. Like, that's crazy, man.
Passages which are so important of contention that, you know, we just need to know them.
That's amazing. Here, though, it's,
so, Brother Owen, it says in there that let us make man in our image, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the Trinitarians, they will look at it and say, you know, there you go. There is a us. There is a plural. There's a Trinity. But those people who knows Hebrew or Arabic, they know that in the Semitic languages, they can be a royal we, a royal plural of authority.
Interesting.
So this is how the languages are. So in the Quran also, it speaks about we, when God is only referring to one person, singular. So this is just the nature of the language. So our people who don't know Hebrew or Aramaic or Arabic, they think this is a plural of Trinity. No, this is a plural of authority. For that reason, not a single Jewish scholar in the history, they took that as Trinity. They took that as a plural of authority.
Cool.
Right.
We need to talk about the Word of God. The written Word of God has the Trinity all over it, even though we need an external authority to kind of draw that out and synthesize it. But it's a really funny meme. You'll like this. And it's my picture of how bad catechesis has become, instruction in the faith. So it's our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's like pleading against a rock, and he's saying, Dad, it's me, you.
Yeah, I wrote that joke. Totally.
You see that?
I wrote that joke.
All I want to say is what might help you, and I'm not trying to convert you because I can't, but what That's might help cool. is the it. Okay. So it's the distinction between a nature and a person. See, for 2,000 years, the church has taught that God and the Trinity are synonyms. God is a Trinity. Even if he hadn't created anything, he's still Father, and the Son is always being generated in the eternal Godhead. What really helped me from Frank Sheed's book was that all analogies are really, really, they're prone to limping badly when it comes to the Godhead, because you can always find some flaw in it and then dismiss it. But the distinction between nature and person, to me, it was like light bulb after light bulb going off, that God is one nature. He's divine. He's uncreated. He's all holy. And that is that one divinity is wholly possessed by three divine persons.
So this is the third person. This is Patrick Covenant, and all due respect to all of them. And since you know them very well, Owen, if they'd like to come on, we'd love to have just, you know, a nice dialogue with them. Maybe in the future you could set that up. So Doc Sabeel, okay, so this was the last one. They all had their chance to speak and try to, intervene here on for Owen regarding the Trinity. What do you think about this argument, Doc Sabeel?
The person, the nature, right? There are three persons within one Godhead. Jesus never said that. None of the prophets of the Old Testament ever defined God like that. See, God, the concept of God is the fundamental truth of any faith. That's the bedrock. That's the foundation of any faith. It has to be clearly defined. It cannot be a mystery. So all the prophets of God, they clearly, precisely, in a clear-cut way, they all mention there is only one God. And he's the first, he's the last. In the Old Testament, no less than 2,000 places, like hundreds of places, God says that I am God, worship me. Not a single time Jesus said that I am God or worship me, right? On top of it, you know, Brother Owen, you'll be so surprised to find out. In the Gospel of John, the fourth Gospel, chapter 17, verse number 3, Jesus, pointing to the heavens, he said that this is life eternal, that you are the only true God and Jesus sent by God. So if there is a category of God, there is only one person in that category, and that is the Creator himself.
Oh,
not
I
Jesus.
Love God. I love Spirit. Jesus.
Go ahead, finish that point, and then we're going to hear Owen here.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, right? Jesus himself, he mentioned that you are the only true God. That excludes him and anyone else from being God.
You know, I love God. I love Jesus. I the whole insistence that I understand Jesus as the Word of God, the living Word. I understand that. But the creator of the universe, the heaven and earth, and the other dimension that allows for all that, I just don't understand it. And I'd be lying if I did. And from my personal salvation comes from not lying. So if I go along with something, it's why I got kicked out of Hollywood, because I wouldn't go along with transgender children. I know that's why E. Michael Jones got kicked out of a Catholic college, because he wouldn't sign off on abortion, which is one of the reasons Jones is one of my favorite people, because that's huge, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people there said they understood the Trinity, but had no problem killing unborn babies. So I judge people based on, you know, their morality and how much their, as Vox Day says, the good, the true, and the beautiful. And right now I'm focused on making communities, local supply chains as the world collapses because of, you know, graft and disorder. And so if anyone wants to join Bertaria Times app, join that. I'm going to pitch my
app. Let me do it for you.
All right, I want to a couple of things that Owen said. He mentioned obviously believing, loving Jesus. We love Jesus. You cannot. It's a tenet of faith, and this is not no like magic spell. Nothing. There are six articles of faith, and to be a Muslim, and one of us is to believe in the messengers, and Jesus being one of the five greatest messengers, peace be upon him. So you, if you say that I don't believe in Jesus, this can land you a ticket to the hellfire, literally. If you deny Jesus in Islam, remember Islam only means to submit your will to the creator of the heavens and earth. And a Muslim is one, because we get caught up on these terms and people think Muslim, Arab in the desert. But a Muslim is just simply summarized with in one word, one who submits his or her will to God, to the creator of the heavens and earth. So when he says that I believe he's the word of God, what do you think when he says that, Dr. Sabil? Don't we believe that also?
Yeah, well, yes. So in the Quran also, it mentions that Jesus is the word of God. But word of God is not like God himself. Word of God is a command of God. You know, for that reason, the Quran says, you know, when people, when they equate Jesus with God and vice versa and says that God is the father because he did not have a father, God himself gives an argument in the Quran in chapter number 3, verse number 59, God says, that the likeness of Jesus in the eyes of God is similar to the likeness of Adam. He was made from dust, and God say, be, and he was created. So the word of God is the command of God. It's not equal to God. So I think that's right. Where our Christian brothers and sisters, they made a mistake that when they say, you know what, when the word became flesh, no. The word is separate. The word is the command of the creator. And by the command of God, Jesus and all of us and the whole creation was created. So that's an important point that we need to convey to them.
Yeah, it's like, and you get that when you're on a homestead, like the old joke, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Mm-hmm. The answer is God, you know? Like people are always like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? It's like the chicken, well, it came from an egg. Well, where'd the egg come from? A chicken, it came from an egg. It's like it has to come from the creator. That's why I agree with you on that, because it's like you can't, only God can create that spark. You know, and there's no man, whether you're doing the will of God or not, that's ever made a tree or a fish, right? You know, it just isn't possible for a human being to do that. The human is capable of making the deceptions and the illusions and the spellcraft. Oh, and I want to ask you something. One of my Muslim friends got me real into black seeds, because I guess it's in the Quran that's like the medicine for everything. And I want to, since I have a doctor on here that's also a Muslim, like what's because it does work with a lot of stuff, that black cumin seeds.
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about?
Yes. So in the Quran, it mentions in chapter 33, verse number 21, that we should follow Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, right? His example, his role model, his life. So one of the statements that he made, he gave importance to the black seed. He also gave importance to other fruits and, you know, some other items. But especially to the black seed. So for that reason, the scholars and the modern day, you know, the jurists, what they have done is, you know, along with the other treatment, other medicine, other advice from the doctors, let's also try the prophetic wisdom that he has mentioned in this statement, that taking the black seed, you know, eating it and mixing it in different ways and, cooking it in different ways. So that's where it comes from, brother.
Here, we're going to get into another clip from Owen here.
Enjoy Trinity Spouse because I don't care either. It's ego. Some things can't be fully understood. No, it's not because it can't be understood. It's a magic trick. It's three card Monty. We should start calling it Trinity card Monty. It's a way for sinful people to not have to address their sin. They're just always saved no matter what they do. That's the whole point. That's why they love, that's why they're so obsessed with it. And I've been gatekept by everybody, you know. It's like, we have an intervention. You really should be politically correct so we don't look like cowards. We're going to have an intervention. You really should say Christianity is all about the number three and not living the Bible. You know, I'm looking at these like city dwelling, beardless, pale faced,
much love, much
nonsense machines. And they're like, oh, we're going to tell you about it. Trinitarians don't read the Bible. They read a million books about the Bible. It's exactly, dude. I was the only one mentioning the Bible. And they're like, well, you know, J.R., you know, Tolkien said, I'm like, and I don't even care.
The reason I played this clip, here's the takeaways. I want to talk about real quickly salvation, because Owen made a brilliant point of people being able to get away, you know, from accountability of sins. He mentioned the beard. I don't know if you know, Owen, it's actually required in Islam to have a beard. You know, it's one for men to grow beards. So yeah, it's so that, so what, and then yeah. So go ahead, Dr. Bill.
Beard. You know, it's important that I gave this lecture one time, and the discussion topic was, who is following Jesus more? Are there the Muslims following him or the Christians following him? So I made like five different points that we are the ones who are following Jesus. So the very first point that I gave is obviously the beard, right? Because Jesus and all the prophets, they had the beards. And if we love Jesus, be like Jesus. So we have the beard because we want to be like him and all the prophets. One, right? Second, when we fast in the month of Ramadan, we are also following the sunnah, the example of all the prophets, including Jesus. Matthew 5, verse number 2. Matthew 4, verse number 2. Jesus used to fast a specific, you know, number of days. We are the ones who are actually fasting that way. Not just giving up one item or one thing that we like. Total absentee fasting, the way all the prophets, Jesus used to fast that way. Number 3 is, when we meet each other, brother, what do we say? Do you know? When Muslims meet with each other.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. Lo and behold, you'll be surprised to find out. The book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 20, verse number 19. Jesus, when he went to the upper chamber, he met his disciples, and the very first thing he mentioned to them was, peace be upon you. Right? Number 3, Jesus was circumcised. All the prophets, they were circumcised. Muslim males, we are circumcised. But the biggest thing that we are following about Jesus is, he was an absolute monotheistic person. He never believed in Trinity. He never preached Trinity. And monotheism was the main belief, or the only foundational belief that he shared with his people. So if you look at anyone in the whole world who is actually practicing and following Prophet Jesus, right, minutely, we are the ones, Muslims. You know, I mean, if you can add more things, he never ate pork. In the Old Testament, it forbids pork. Leviticus chapter 11, verse number 3 and onwards. Muslims, we never ate pork. We forbid pork, right? The Quran also forbids eating pork. So we can give many, many examples saying that, yes, Muslims are minutely following Jesus and all the prophets of God, including the last one, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
And porn, too. It's like, and then, like, when I've done stand-up in the Middle East, there's a real opposition of pornography. And in Matthew, Jesus said, basically, if you look at a woman in lust, you should stab your own eye out, which is, you know, pretty intense. And I think a lot of people have gotten way too lackadaisical with those lustful tendencies. And I actually think it's the biggest plague on the West right now is pornography. I think it's like the opium war of the 21st century, where I think it's rewiring men's brains into being these like outside observers and very weak and very passive and almost effeminate and very permissive of like child abuse and all this stuff. And so that's another part that I think a lot of modern Christians, and I'm not saying all, because a lot of Christians get it. I know a lot of Christians that really do follow the Bible, but the modern popcorn Christian, like the mega churches, the rainbow flag Christians, like, you know, those guys are not even close. Like, not even like Muslims are more Christian than them, like by far, not even a comparison. And that's why when they condemn Muslims for being this like problem, I'm like, dude, they're actually living the Bible way more than you, you know, because the fundamentals are, you know, commandment one is so important. And so is like the discipline required to be in that frequency of not being like completely fallen and disgusting, you know, to see like lesbian female preachers, like, you're just like, dude, you're so far off. Like seeing priests and pride parades. And I'm like, it's a pride parade. What's up next? The wrath parade, you know? And I think, unfortunately, that may be coming at some point. I'm like, you're not supposed to be identified by your sins. That means you can't. We all sin and we all have problems. But it's like, to be identified by that, is it means you've already taken the ticket. But they just keep saying, like, I've accepted Jesus Christ, so I'm saved. And I'm like, no, he didn't, like, if you, he didn't say that you could just live any way you want. You don't just say magic words. In fact, I bet in modern day, if they met Jesus, they'd probably hate him or not want to be around him or want him to get kicked off Twitter, you know?
Yeah. You know, when you speak about initially, I think maybe 20 minutes ago, Jesus was praying, right? And who was he praying to? A question which I always ask to my Christian friends is, suppose if you see Jesus praying, would you pray to him or would you stand next to him to pray to the same creator that he's praying to?
It's a pray waterfall. Just pray to pray to pray to pray. Like, that's just,
yeah, just direct worship, yeah. Right? So in Islam, there is no mediator because God, Allah, is all-knowing. He's all-hearing. Why do we need to go through many, many channels when we can approach him directly? We have direct access to him. Pray to him, ask from him, get the mercy and the blessings from him.
Cool, man.
I wanted to, before we get into this next clip, I want to get your reaction to it. Owen, are there any questions that you have about Islam?
I've just been really into the history of it lately. Like what happened in the 14th century with the fall of the Islamic Empire and how that happened, like how, you know, there's some quotes that my friend was telling me about how the horse archers came out of China or Mongolia or whatever, and they had gotten so wealthy that they didn't have an army or whatever. And I just like want to know, like, what's the history in your communities and in your circles of what happened in Baghdad and those areas in the 14th century? Because, like, you know, especially what's happening right now in America, I'm always curious of what the forces are in empire and in conquest and all that stuff. And the Islamic Empire is so fascinating and so undertaught in Western schools that any information about that would be awesome.
Yeah, you know, there is a good history book that I can refer to you. Maybe I can send it to Eddie, the name of it, and maybe you can purchase and you can, inshallah, God willing, you can get access to it. It is written by a good friend of mine, a local imam in Chicago, Hafiz Ikhlas. Brother Eddie, I will send the link so you can pass it to
okay,
the
cool.
Inshallah. You know, one important topic then, Brother Eddie, you can take over is the word Christian, you know, they were repeating it, you are repeating it. It's important for me and you to know historically, Jesus never said that, you know, my followers are Christians. He never said that you are now named as Christians. In fact, in all of the four Gospels, the word Christian does not occur at all. Who do you think, Brother Owen, who coined the word Christian for the Christians?
Probably the Romans.
I think you are right. Because what happened was, followers of Christ, they were going to these idol worshippers. They were going to the city of Antioch to preach the oneness of God. Over there, the idol worshippers, they look from inside the city. The followers of Christ are coming and they said, the idol worshippers, here comes the Christians. So they were the ones who coined the word Christians to the followers of Christ. Not God, not Jesus, not even Paul, none of the disciples, but the idol worshippers. And you can look this up. This is in the book of Acts, the fifth book, chapter 11, verse number 26. On top of it, the word Christianity does not occur anywhere in the whole Bible. The word Judaism does not occur in the whole Bible. The word Trinity does not occur in the whole Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
The word Bible does not occur anywhere in the Bible.
Yeah, there's spells. You know, like my dad's a rhetoric professor, so I kind of, from a young age, I knew about how spellcraft works. And sometimes I catch some of these and I'm like, Dude, I'm starting to think that the devil's like kind of like a really, really sick comedian where he's always trying to humiliate man with like weird titles and like tricks where it's like banks that don't save money, hospitals that don't heal, schools that tell lies. Like there's this weird inversion irony where, and I kind of had that idea already that Christian was given by the Romans is almost like a mockery, mm-hmm. but that stuff doesn't bother me too much because it's been 1700 years or whatever. And it's just like, it's just more of my cultural heritage and like what I, you know, I don't know. I can't explain it, but I do know that you're right. Well, I assume you're right about that because yeah, I've done a lot of deep dives into the Bible with certain words and there was no Bible. Jesus didn't even write it down. Like there was no Bible, no Trinity, no word Christian. They were called holy. People who followed Jesus were more called holy, and I think that comes from the word whole, like total.
Yeah, actually, they're called the people of the way, people of the path.
That's awesome. That's yes, awesome.
And they used to submit to God, and anyone who submits only to the one creator and do the guidance and fulfills the guidance that Allah God has given, the term that we give that person is a submitter to the creator. In Arabic, that person is called as a Muslim. So for that reason, we say Jesus was a Muslim because he used to submit to the creator. His followers were Muslims, initial followers, obviously. All the prophets were Muslims. So the faith of Islam is the, you know, you may be thinking, brother, that it is a 7th century faith founded by Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's not the case, though. Islam as a guidance was given to the very first human, Adam. And all the prophets, they were given that same faith of Islam. That means only submit to the one creator, follow his guidance, and God by his mercy will put you into paradise. So what happened was...
It's an eternal thing. I get it. It's like, because the truth is fractal in everything in the world. That's why it's mm-hmm. like, you don't need, as Patrick Coffin was saying, which I disagree with in that intervention, you don't need an outside authority. When he said the Trinity required an outside authority, an outside interpreter, a middleman, you know, it's like, the middleman, the merchant, you know, it's like, I get it. The debt guy. It's like, you don't need that. It's like, you can see the truth in it in your life every day. Like every commandment, every element of it is real all around you all the time and has always been here. Like the truth. One of the reasons people say I'm a time traveler, I'm not, by the way, is because the truth never changes. So it appears I keep seeing stuff coming, you know, in my live streams. And it's because the truth doesn't change. You know, the spells change, the snake eats itself, all the nonsense all around you. But like the truth is static. It's still, it's loving, you know, it's like, and that's why I love how you guys describe God as like being very forgiving and very, you know, like all powerful and without limits and very merciful. Because, you know, the fact that I have three beautiful children and a wife and a farm and all this stuff, given what my life has been like, I feel like God has given me tremendous mercy and I am very happy for that. And I think a lot of people, Muslim or Christian or whatever people want to call themselves, it's like gratitude is so important. Here's another thing I like about a lot of Muslim videos is you guys seem to be able to identify the false virtue guy at the mosque really well. Because I think Muhammad, peace be upon him, really hated the, now I'm not gonna use the word hate, but really didn't like the guys that pretended, you know, they wanted virtue from their public, like their virtue in their deeds, but no real heart in it, you know? And I think that is a struggle that is eternal as well. And it can infest any community where like, you're not doing it for the love of God. You're doing it for the lollipops and fancy pants is what we like to call it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm just, I think gratitude and love and truth is so important and discipline. And it's really awesome that you gave up being a doctor to spread Islam, because that's cool, man. That's like really, I know that can be really hard for people to give up worldly status. And, you know, the pit in the pedestal is a very real technique to keep people in bondage. And it's really cool you did that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we only have one life to live. Once we are on, in, you know, facing the creator on the day of judgment, and he's asking us, how did you live your life? I don't have a chance again to come back to this world and do the things that I want to do to please him. This is the only life. Just do the best, you know, learn the scriptures, the Quran, the final scripture, you know, be like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and all the wonderful prophets. Help out humanity. Only one life to live. So for that reason,
haven't you felt like your life's gotten better though? Like when you really submit and you really start doing what's right and not just for life, like, don't you feel better now? I feel a lot better than before.
Yes, yes. We have peace and content. Now we trust God. Exactly. Now we are more hopeful. Now we are away from any depression, you know, any medicine. I mean, I don't take medicine, but you don't need any medicine at all. Now God is the one who is going to be there for you, right? So the ultimate trust, the peace, the content is just priceless.
We'll get this reaction. We got about 10 minutes left. We'll get a quick reaction from Owen. We'll listen to this. I just want you to see, just listen. And then Owen, just tell me, it's not a spell, all right? I just want you to listen and see. Yeah. So just listen and see, you know, at the end, like, your reaction to it. And then we'll get into the final clip about some farming, and we'll close it off. And then what I wanted to add to what you guys were saying before I play this next clip is what came to my mind is how simple and profound it is that, you know, if someone is sincerely seeking the pleasure of their creator and to be guided, you know, it's not convoluted like the devil tries to make it out to be. It's just someone within themselves asking, say, the one who created me, guide me. You know, just praying to the creator, the most loving, the most merciful, and saying, guide me. What way do you want me? There's so much out there. Which is the correct way? Guide me. That's it. How many people actually ask for guidance directly to the creator of the heavens and earth? So that's, I think, the formula. And be grateful and thankful. Yes. The reaction to this.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alif Lam Ra. تلك آيات الكتاب وقرآن مبين ربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين ذرهم يأكلوا ويتمتعوا ويلههم الأمل فسوف يعلمون وما أهلكنا من قرية إلا ولها كتاب معلوم ما تسبق من أمة أجلها وما يستأخرون وقالوا يا أيها الذي نزل عليه الذكر إنك لمجنون لو ما تأتينا بالملائكة إن كنت من الصادقين ما ننزل الملائكة إلا بالحق وما كانوا إذا منظرين إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون ولقد أرسلنا من قبلك في شيع الأولين وما يأتيهم من رسول إلا كانوا به يستهزئون كذلك نسلكه في قلوب المجرمين لا يؤمنون به وقد خلت سنة الأولين.
Any reaction or not?
Yeah, it was great, man. I love that.
So this is, do you know what that was?
I don't.
This was, go ahead, Dr. Sabil. What was he listening to?
Yeah, obviously, this is a recitation from the Quran, the last testament that God has given as a guidance to humanity. And it basically referring about the grand reality. Mubin means, which is the clear manifestation, which is the clear reality that we all know and we all have to face, that there is only one creator. All the prophets, they came to speak about him, to invite people to worship him. And if we do our best, if there is any shortcoming, obviously we should repent to the creator directly, no mediator. And it says in the Quran, he will forgive all the sins, you know, except one sin. If a person dies with that, the sin of associating partners with God, saying that this person is God or that idol is God or this part of the creation is God. But generally any other sin, Allah, God can forgive. So our reality is that God has given us guidance, and by obeying the guidance, inshallah, God willing, by his mercy, we will go to paradise. So that is the grand reality. And that is the message that God has sent to all the prophets and the messengers. So we can always discuss so many topics about Trinity, the concept of God, right? The scriptures, the way for salvation. At the end of the day, me, you, every single one of us, we have to face the creator. you know, just like when we went to schools and colleges, there is a assessment at the end of the semester by the teacher based upon all the things that we have done that semester. So the final grade of ours as humans, as individuals, would be given to us on the day of judgment. So ultimately, there would be two options up there, right? Or the two, only two places that God can put us, either in paradise, we hope and pray all of us, or hellfire, and we seek Allah's God's protection against it. So according to the Islamic theology, to go to paradise would be, we don't worship anyone else besides one God. We believe in all the prophets and the messengers and all the scriptures given before the Quran came. And now the final scripture, because the previous scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament, they were all have been edited and revised and altered. We don't have them in the pure way that they were given to the previous prophets. And then we believe in the angels and in the divine decree and on the day of judgment. So once a person believes in this grand reality and do the deeds that God wants us to do, that's the way for salvation according to Islam. You were saying something, Brother Rowan.
Oh yeah, is there periods of hellfire? Do you guys believe that you might have to burn for a little while and then you can get out?
So generally, both hellfire and paradise, they are forever. Like paradise forever for sure, right? But yeah, those believers whose sins are not forgiven, they would be purified in the hellfire for whatever length of time, and then they would be taken out. But those individuals, for example, despite knowing the truth, they keep on associating partners, keep on believing and worshiping a creation along with God or instead of God, you know, according to the Quran, it will be there for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's what my instincts tell me is like, because I think that there's like fractal realities of that while you're alive. Like the more you go against God, it may appear that you're doing well, but you're not allowed to feel joy. And like you start like burning almost, where it's like, does that make sense? Where it's almost like a correction where it's like you got to get back on the path. And if you refuse and if you're stubborn and if you don't accept that burning, like, and this is even while you're alive, and I'm sure after it's like way crazier, but like that's kind of like what my instincts say, where like, you know, there's correction mechanisms where if somebody sees it, they can be purged of sin, versus just like maybe there's some people that are just, you know, going to burn forever. That just sounds so horrifying.
Right. You know, for that reason, we say that this life is a testing ground.
Yeah. Sure.
God has given us clear guidance. He gave us clear guidance, and he has also showed us, you know, what is the error that we should be staying away from. So on the day of judgment, we cannot blame Satan, you know, Shaitan.
Right.
Shaitan is going to say on the day of judgment, I just told you to do this. You are the one who actually did it. You means, you know, anyone I'm saying. You are the one who actually did it. So he's going to, you know, walk away. We cannot, you know, hold him and say, you know what, God, he's the one who took us here. No, ultimately, we are the ones. God gave us the ability, the thinking, the conscience, that we should be the one making the right decisions and not blame on anyone else.
Yeah, okay. It's so true, man. It's like that when you're getting a loan. You know, it's like when they repossess your house, you can say, I didn't know, but they're like, you read the contract. I gave you a contract. It's at adjustable rate mortgage. Like, you agreed. And that's why I think a lot of the people on this earth who are doing the bidding of Shaitan get away with it, because they require you to know and to contract with them, and then they get to walk away. And I think that happens as well with judgment, where it's like you can never say the devil made you do it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so far we have about 5,000 plus people on behalf of the organization that I'm director of. They of their own choice, you know, majority of them, they are from the Christian background. Once they started to read the Quran, they found the answers in the Quran to the questions they had all throughout their lives. You know, who is the creator? Is he one in one or is he one in three? They found the answer in the Quran with clarity about who Jesus is. You know, Jesus is the Son of God. He's also God. And God came down. God died. Who's going to run the universe? This confusion, Quran gives the clear-cut answer that satisfies here and here. What guidance to follow? We all need to follow some guidance. When we went to school, when we drive on the road, right? When we go to any work, there is some do's and don'ts we are supposed to follow. So what kind of guidance that God has given us to follow, both individuals and as family and as humanity? So in the Quran, it's a comprehensive guidance. So again, over there, a person gets, you know, connected with it. And lastly, how to go to paradise? Is it somebody dying for us? Is it reincarnation after reincarnation, the cycle goes on and on? Or is it personal accountability that you drive over the limit, you get the ticket, not you or not anyone else?
Yeah, totally.
Right. So all of these four important concepts, Brother Owen, they appeal to this individual. So that is the reason Islam is the fastest growing faith in the USA and actually around the world. So my sincere hope and, you know, my encouragement to you is, you know, read the Quran. I'm not sure if you have a copy of the Quran. Do you?
I have one. I've read about it's the one I have is really, really intense. It has like footnotes of every line and like all. And so it was a little heavy, but my friend said he might have, he has a simpler version. Yeah, so I'll check it out. But he sends me like memes and cool videos and stuff all the time. So I'm really glad you guys exist, man. I think you guys are really cool people. And you have, go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry, you were finishing.
Well, no, it's just really cool because that's what I don't understand about. So I guess I do understand, but some people don't want to let go hatred that they know is fake now. Because I'm considered a truther, you know, where it's like I like to get to the bottom of stuff, even if it costs me, you know, social status. But and then like, so we get to the bottom of 9/11, not who did it. That's too hard to do. But like Building 7 fall, I don't want to get your YouTube channel flagged or anything. So we all know that there's nonsense. But yet people will still hold on to the hate to justify empire wars. And I'm like, why won't you let that go now? Like, we're past that. How do you not now know that there's no Muslim burial 80 miles off the coast of, like, on a ship? Like, looking back, we were so tricked. Like, they said Osama bin Laden had a Muslim burial, an anonymous 80 miles off the coast. They dropped him off a boat. And, like, all the right-wingers were all up in arms, like, how dare Obama give him a Muslim burial? And the other people are like, he deserves a Muslim burial. I'm like, how is that a Muslim burial? Like, is that a Muslim burial, guys? Do you get dropped off a ship 80 miles off a coast? Like, I think that sounds. And so what I hope for the future is that people, once people see that someone isn't your enemy or that a lot of people, like the way Muslims live, I think is really beautiful. Like, I think that that submission to God, that's what that means. That's awesome. That it's like you don't like debt, you don't like pornography, you follow the prophets, you follow God. I think that's just so great, man. It's like, I really hope that more people see that and they don't hold on to that because it'll only hurt them in the long run, where they're holding on to like lies because it'll justify their sin. Like, I'm tight with a lot of special forces guys and stuff like that. And a lot of them, the only way they got through the wars is admitting that they were guarding a poppy field. Like, admit it. Like, we weren't there avenging New York City. You know, it's been 20 years. And once they admit that and the truth sets them free, then they're good again. And that's why I believe that God is merciful, because like people have done some crazy stuff under these spells, myself included. I'm sure I'm under a spell right now that I'm not aware of. But like to admit it when you see it is so important. And that's why I'm really glad that we're all friends and we can have these conversations, because like, I'm not going to pretend something is something it isn't, you know? And I hope more people see that about Islam and how close it is to the Christian Bible and how it isn't, you know, it's the Christian dogma that got so crazy, specifically Rome, in my opinion. And it's like, I just hope people really focus on the upcoming problems we have, which are all familial. You know, it's all about keeping that family together. One thing I love about Islam is that you guys talk about how it's like if a little demon gets a husband and wife to fight, he gets to sit on like Satan's lap or something. Is that like in a hadith or something?
Yeah. So that's what Shaitan, you know, he wants to split the communities. He wants to split the families.
Right.
That's what makes his day. Yes.
He does. Mm-hmm. And so you guys are so family oriented that I love that, because the Shaitan wants the mom and dad to split. They want the communities to split. They want the wells to go dry. No more cow. Like, none of this. Satan is not like that. Satan is not like I can supply milk for five families and that like me and my friends can all get together and do our own thing. Satan wants the atomization. So I dig what you guys are doing, and I'm glad we had this conversation.
That's interesting. You brought up this authentic hadith, because this hadith illustrates the importance of family, like how the devil, you know, the shaitan, this is the chief, you know, the chief deceiver, Iblis, the head devil. And then you have all the other satanic forces. So he's sitting and he's calling them and he's saying, okay, what did you do today? For instance, this one said, I had this one commit fornication. Okay, yeah. And then he said, this one, what did you do? I had this one steal. Okay, these are evil things. They're evil, right? But he's like, okay, no big deal, right? Okay, then he says, what did you do? I split a husband from his wife. He said, ah, boom, come over here. Come to me here. He put the crown on his head. Because what happens if you break the home? You break the society, right? All these other things are evil, but that's the key one. So that's what's important in Islam, is to hold the family unity. Because you hold the family unity, that's what makes the society. Right. Let me get into this last one. You have someone who really likes, who follows you. He's from Bosnia. So you even your work is reaching all the way to Bosnia, Owen. And I think I just give you a quick summary. You had the back where my roots back in Bosnia. I was born in the United States, but my family comes from Bosnia. This is in the heart of Europe. And quick summary, you had Unitarian Christians there. You know, who, when Islam came, these were Unitarian Christians who didn't believe in the Trinity, you know, similar to you and many others. They would pray outside. They would pray like Jesus prayed to the creator of the heavens and the earth. And when submission to the will of the creator came, the Islam, well, that's what it means, to submit your will to God. They were the largest concentrated group of people who accepted Islam all at once. So this is in the heart there in Europe, Bosnia. So we're here at the farm, and if you ever, I think I mentioned this to you before, Orhan would love to host you. So this is me there. You can kind of give you just a little bit of what you would see and where you'd stay.
Nice.
Just the milking station here.
Beautiful. That's legit, man. Wow. A lot of milk.
The Almighty set it up where they start, what happens? They start to grow, eat more and grow more, specific hair.
This is our Orhan here.
Cold. Look, he's got a thing. These are the females. Now look at the male here. What do you, let's see if you can strike the difference.
Here's your favorite, Owen.
So this is the male, huh? Look, he's got a beard.
He's got a beard, Owen.
That is awesome. Wow, look at that place. Beautiful.
What's in here, actually? This is rosemary. Rosemary made from
organic rosemary. These are all juices.
Just 100%
nice.
Beer. What kind of, this pear juice. Yes.
Pear juice.
We got honey also.
Honey.
Plum.
This is not alcohol. These are all juices made from.
MashaAllah. Corn here. Or more GMO.
Dude, this is beautiful.
So this is,
that's the life.
This is in the United States. Yes. In the United States, the corn is 80% or more GMO. This is non-GMO corn. This is the real corn here.
So you'd be eating organic.
Real.
Purely organic.
Love it.
Real corn.
Well, that's the life.
This
is my father, Owen.
Svakogdana Orhan Svakogdana.
And then some jujitsu. This is my son.
That's awesome.
And that's Orhan here. Rest of the way.
And then we
get you some horse riding.
I don't know if there's one for my size. I'm 6'8", man. I'm a giant.
We got the big horses too. So this is where I'm sure Orhan would love to host you there.
Yeah, man. If next tour, if I come through, I'm definitely coming.
So if you're ever in Europe, Orhan will get to see this, and I'll hook you up. He'd love to have you there in Bosnia, in Sarajevo. So we'll get you to the farm. All right, closing comments, Dr. Sabir, Owen, we're coming to a close here.
I just, yes. This is a blast, man. No, go ahead, doctor.
No, I mean, I want to really appreciate, you know, the sincerity that you have being brought up in the culture here with so much pressure to retain, you know, what you have been given, it just makes a person, you know, with that much sincerity to look out and to question and to seek for the truth. So I really, really appreciate what you're saying, what you're doing. You know, if people don't know your background, just looking at three of us, they will say, you know what, these three Muslim guys are on the show. They will take you as a Muslim based upon the comments that you have, you know, the concept of God that you're saying and all the wonderful things. So I would really suggest to you, brother, that, you know, read the Quran, read it again, ask questions. Me and Eddie, we are always here to help you. And inshallah, God willing, you will find that it will give you peace and content, and it will connect with the bigger reality. That means there is only one creator. Knowing him, following him, knowing his guidance, following the guidance, and praying to God for giving us the content, the peace, the solutions in this life. So I think that is a bigger reality that, you know, I would really hope and pray that you will do more research. And I pray to God that may God guide you, may God bless you and your family, so you and your family can get eternal paradise and all of us. Ameen.
You as well, my friend. That's beautiful, man. And I just like to also tell your audience that my comedy is there's vulgarity in it. And so, but it's in a world of vulgarity. And so it's not for kids. So if anybody wants to look me up and check it out, it isn't evil though. It isn't bad. It's like, it's a language that is part of the culture I was trying to dismantle. Like the really sick culture that's kind of developed in the West. Sometimes you have to have the language of that which you're mocking. So I just wanted to give a disclaimer for that, because you can check out my specials at unauthorized.tv or Amazon Prime or Comedy Central or any of that stuff. And but for the family, for the that beautiful Bosnian family I just saw, we have developed a more of a solutions-oriented thing, like more of a the Bertaria Times app. It's completely clean. It's like a five-year-old can scroll through it. It's all solutions-based. It's not about complaining. It's about like growing, starting families, you know, connecting homesteads. And because I'm not in the complaint business these days, it's like enough people are seeing the system and how it's victimizing a lot of people. And so me and some friends figured out a way to help each other connect and to grow. So I just want to let your audience know that when they check out my comedy, the adults will get it, but there is vulgarity to it. And I, out of respect, I'm being very obviously non-vulgar in this conversation, but so just watch out for that. But at the same time, you'll see the points I'm making and how it isn't, I'm never encouraging the sin. I'm mocking the sin, but it's like I'm doing it in a way that that people will listen to.
Thank you, Owen. Really nice having you on the program. Again, if you're also in Chicago or by Indiana sometime, Northwest, hit me up and hopefully we can all meet up in person someday.
I will. That'd be great. And if you're ever in Idaho, you're always welcome.
God bless you, man. Thank you so much.
And Brother Owen, if you or anyone else would like to get a free copy, you know, so my organization, what we do is we mail out free copies of the Quran anywhere in the USA. For people to read it and educate themselves, do away with the misconceptions, and inshallah, hopefully find guidance. They can go to the website gainpeace.com.
And when awesome, you click on,
yeah, so anyone, yourself, your family, your friends, they can get a free copy. Compliment of the Muslim community.
Thank you both. God bless you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Later, guys.
Well, Peace.